Well, I think it's on. All right. Going to change our scripture this morning. Going to read from Acts 1. Acts 1, 1 to 3. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, our God and risen Redeemer. And gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. I find this to be one of the most bizarre and shocking statements in all of the New Testament, that Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, has to convince his disciples that he is alive. These are not strangers. These are not outsiders. These are not curious onlookers. But the men whom he is having to convince that he is actually alive are the guys who have been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. They saw him heal every illness. They saw him cast out demons. They were with him when he fed the multitudes, and they saw him raise the dead. They heard his teachings. Yet somehow, after his suffering, Jesus has to convince them that he is alive. How do you go about the task of proving that you are alive? This is the basic assumption of all assumptions. Jesus is not trying to prove that he is the Son of God. He is not trying to prove that he is the second person of the Trinity. He is not trying to prove that he is true God or true God. He is not trying to prove that he is the chosen one, the Lamb of God, sent by the Father. He's not trying to prove any of these things. He is trying to convince his closest friends that he is actually physically alive. So let us bring this home. Could we convince our community that we are alive? And believe me, they actually want us to do that. Our community actually wants us to prove to them that we are alive. We serve the God of life. We serve the one resurrected. So how can we convince others that we are alive? What could we do? What could we use as evidence to convince those outside these walls that we are alive? What if we did not meet next Sunday? What if we closed the doors? Would our community be different? Would our community even notice that we weren't here on Sunday? How do we prove we are alive? Luke tells us that Jesus gave his disciples convincing proof. What is a convincing proof? Well, we have one example right here with us. How about giving up part of your vacation? Driving over 1,300 miles? Spending a week in a high-risk area? Serving the homeless and the indigents and the shut-ins? This sounds like a convincing proof, isn't it? That these young people have given a convincing proof to the people in Oakland and the Tenderloin that Jesus is alive. They didn't know anybody there. And yet they were willing to take the risk. They were willing to plant the seeds of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises them that if you give a cup of water in my name, you will not lose your reward. What are we willing to do for our community? I have said that our community is desperate for us to prove that they are, that we are alive. Let me tell you a little bit about my community. In my community, the people who are a little older than I am, many of them have cancer or have had cancer or are in treatment for cancer. When they were in their 40s, many of them who are women had breast cancer. So they spent their 40s dealing with breast cancer. And now then they're spending their 50s dealing with how that cancer has metastasized in some other part of their body. They need to know that Jesus Christ is alive. They need to know that Jesus is greater than the trials that are before them. For many, these are couples that have been married for over 25 years. They are contemplating divorce. For many of them, their children who have been married for over 25 years are divorced or are getting divorced. Their grandchildren will not go to church. In fact, their grandchildren are actually openly hostile to Christianity. This is my community. These are the people that I see regularly. These are the people who need to hear from the church. These are the people that need to know that this table is still real. That there is a place for them, for their failures, for their illnesses, for all of their burdens. There is a place for them at this table. That God has not rejected them. That God is alive and well on planet Earth. That's why we need to be alive. Not to convince ourselves. Jesus was not trying to convince Himself He was alive. He was trying to convince His closest friends. This table is a place of miracles. When was the last time a miracle happened here? We serve the God of resurrection. Where is that power? Where does the power of the God of resurrection leave these walls and touch our community, touch our friends, touch our family? When does that take place? How does that take place? When we came here this morning, why did we come? What did we expect to happen? Did we want something to happen that we did not expect to happen? Or are we happy to just keep coming here? What will we tell, what do we tell those outside? How do we prove to them that Jesus is alive? Forget all of the theology part. We're so far from being to that level, it's unimaginable. Just simply, how do we convince our community who is lost, who is desperate, who is stumbling in the dark, that Jesus Christ is alive? And all God's children said, Amen. Please would we stand for our affirmation of faith.